apparently hundreds of people saw these things, and many of them took pictures, and some of them took movies. So, you know, I'm just saying that stuff's still out there. And, I mean, it didn't just happen two or three times, although that's what the press reported. It happened over 80 times that year.
That's huge.
It is. And according to Bill Burns, he interviewed the sons of a Colonel Mac Magruder, who is a highly decorated Air Force pilot, I think for the Marines. Anyway, he was there at the Pentagon watching in a situation room when two of our jets went up to intercept the UFOs over Capitol Hill and were either disintegrated or beamed up and never returned.
Jeez. How did you get involved in looking at UFO cases specifically in the D.C. area?
Yeah, that started in the spring of 2005 when I was sent an email by Daryl Sims, who's a retired military police officer. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, can you tell me anything about this? Does this look real? And it was pictures of UFOs swarming over the Capitol, and one had actually landed on the roof of the Capitol. And not knowing I thought for sure if that was real, I would have heard something about it in 2005. I mean, the event happened July 16th, 2002, allegedly. So I contacted a photographer. His name's Will Allen. He's a professional photographer. He's formerly with ABC News for 14 years. And he'd actually been at the Capitol that night taking pictures for an album cover. And coincidentally, all these UFOs showed up. And so I said, well, you know, hey, you've got the film there. Can we have it analyzed? I mean, people are going to think you did this in Photoshop. And he said, absolutely. And he took it to a film lab there in D.C. And once we had it authenticated, I thought, wow, okay, I'll publish the article, which I did internationally. And then I found all this other information. I mean, over 100 different cases at first. And I thought, wait a minute, how come nobody's talking about this? You know, which led to 200 cases, and eventually I published the first book, and I talked to you and your audience, and then they contributed more information. So even after I did the first book, I realized there was a lot more information I hadn't even tapped into, and that's what led to the second book, which is a culmination, really, of 6 years of investigation.
Was it easy or difficult for you to do your research into this?
At times, it was pretty tough. But, you know, what this information has been scattered to the wind. It's all over the place is what I'm trying to say. And I used every resource available to me, including old newspaper clippings that, you know, haven't seen the light of day in decades, so that some people had sent to me. And it was like a snowball rolling down a hill. Every day it would just get bigger. And honestly, even though the second book is published, I'm still getting information, including photographs. And I guess I'm stuck with it. All I can do is put it back out there for people to recognize that, hey, there's something really strange going on in Washington, D.C.
Why Washington, D.C.? Because it's the center of power?
Yes. I think that's the only logical conclusion at this point. D.C. is the seat of power, and I think we're going to get into this a little bit later, but apparently the bad guys, whoever they are attracted to this because if they can, and I think they can, they're manipulating people to serve some sort of agenda, covert agenda.
And hence the name Covert Encounters.
It sounds like an easy name, Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C. It's pretty logical. But it took me quite a while to figure out, you know, because titles really, you know, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but ultimately people do. And I wanted to succinctly just say to people, hey, this is what's going on, Covert Encounters. And it didn't start yesterday. It's still going on now. But, I mean, the first sighting was 1850. The numbers of sightings didn't start really increasing until 1940s. And then the 50s just went crazy. But as you can see from the statistical charts that I did in the back of the book there, this last decade was actually more prolific than the 1950s.
And you wouldn't think it, but you're right.
If you watch the news, you wouldn't know it.
No, not at all.
Here's the other thing, George. When I first spoke to you 4.5 years ago, a lot of people were very skeptical, and I don't blame them because, first of all, they don't know who I am, not that that matters, but they're not hearing this from any other source. So a lot of people thought I was making it up, you know, which is the furthest thing from the truth.
No.
Obviously, I can't verify every picture and report that I've given people. But I'm doing my level-headed best to get this information, analyze it, put it into a timeline, and then report it to people because I think it's extremely important. So it's hard for me to report this to people and then just accept it as a matter of fact when they've never heard anything about this before.
That's a good point. Now, Robert has sent us a series of close encounter pictures on Capitol Hill. Lex has posted them. So they're under our highlight reel at coasttocoastam.com. This 52 Capitol Hill picture, which we were talking about earlier, what did the media say about it in 52? I mean, you know, you've got all these strange things over the Capitol. What did they say?
Well, they were calling it an invasion. And
from space?
Well, Colonel Stevens, Wendell Stevens was the
Wendell
colonel.
Stevens.
Yes, he's passed on now. But
yes,
he had told me that the only picture that we really had available to us for decades was that one iconic picture of a fleet of UFOs passing over the Capitol Dome.
Right.
That had been
which
taken
I think
by
we're a, looking at on the website. Those were that was one of them you gave us. Okay.
Well, is it a color picture?
Yes.
Okay. That's actually a still taken at the same night, at the same location. That's a still capture from a movie footage that was leaked by Channel 4 in England.
Okay.
Yeah, during a documentary with Nick Cook. I never seen that before until October of 2005. And a lot of people are telling me that that's computer-generated, which I don't accept that at all, but there's multiple reasons for that. But anyway, the only picture that we had, a still photo, was taken at the same location right there in front of the reflecting pool of that same – it was the same night, obviously, because it's the same squadron of UFOs. And a news photographer took that picture, made a copy, gave it to a guy named Augie Roberts, and then later that picture, the original, was confiscated. And so when Augie eventually published that in the 60s, people said, oh, that's fake. You know, if that was real, we would have seen it before now. And they called it lens flares and birds and stuff like that. But, you know, so that was the only picture up until 2005 when I published Mr. Allen's photographs. And then other photographs started to pop up because I was looking for them. And even one of your listeners sent me a picture, an amazing photograph that his uncle took at the Pentagon, July 4th, 1949. That one amazed me, a color slide photo, because those same type of UFOs were seen at the Millennial Celebration, turn of the century there on the National Mall, by thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people.